Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, while we're getting this together, I want us all to agree in prayer that Jeff will have a safe trip. He's got to go to Washington State to bury his uncle. He's leaving in just a few minutes because he's got to be there at the funeral tomorrow. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless Jeff, watch over him, protect him, keep him safe. All that trip all the way up there, to up in the far north, western part of the United States, and then bring him back Tuesday safely as he travels up there. Give him safety and let him have good time with the family. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 and amen. I think if I heard right, his uncle was 80 years of age. I think that's right. So anyway, it's, you know, that's about time. The scripture says it's time to go home, isn't it? Somewhere along in there. Now then, I want us to turn over to a scripture in Mark 16, 17, and 18. And I want us to start out today looking at Mark 16, 17, and 18. There's a storm coming? Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we rebuke any kind of storm that's coming this way. We rebuke it. There will be no devastating winds or tornadoes or hail or anything else in the storm that'll come over here, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're standing in your word, Lord. You told us to have faith, and anything we ask you for, you'll do it. So we ask you to protect all of us, our vehicles, our homes, everything, and let no harm come to us or any of our property, any of our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Lord told us we could do that, so we do it. We do it. Praise the Lord. Now then, that scripture that we're going to look at here, Mark 16, what is the very first line of that say? These miraculous signs, or if we put it in the King James, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now then, I want to teach you how to be a believer. You want to learn that if Jesus said you can do these things, and if he rebuked you when you didn't do those things, just like he did at boys, you know, whenever the boys that he gave power to heal people and everything else, when they couldn't get it done, he rebuked them. He said, where is your faith? I tell you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move. And if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you. And you know, here's the way we are. We go up like the lady that had been to church and heard some preacher preach on this kind of stuff. So she said, you know that mountain between me and the ocean there, I don't like it, so I'm going to go up to my window and I'm going to look out. And in the name of Jesus, I command that mountain to be moved. Okay, the next day she comes, she opens the house up and she gets up and she looks out the kitchen window and she says, well, just exactly what I thought. It's still there. Now, did she believe?
No,
she didn't believe. I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to give you a living example of what belief is. Here a while back, my wife started to go somewhere in our Suburban, and it died right out there on the parking lot. Wouldn't start. I mean, it just kicked over, and it run just perfect. It'd been running perfect, and then it died, and it wouldn't start. So I called Mike. I said, Mike, I told him what the car did. He said, well, sounds, how many miles it got on it? I said, about 150,000 at that time. He said, probably the fuel pump stuck on it. He said, you pulled it up, it was running good? I said, yes. He says, the fuel low? I said, well, yeah, it's down about a quarter of a tank. He said, okay, that's really not enough fuel to keep it real cool. So he said, just get on the ground underneath it and hit real hard on the tank and let your wife turn the starter over and it'll probably kick right off. And then he said, bring it to me and I'll put you a new fuel pump on it. I said, okay. So I get under that car and I swap that tank three or four times and it will not start. I mean, I'm doing it, I'm getting tired, and I said, well, that ain't going to work. So I get up and stand up, and I said, we might as well just call a wrecker and get it towed over. Cheryl said, no, this car's going to start. Now, do you hear any faith in that statement? I backed off, and I said, wow, do you have faith? She said, watch this. Ding! And when she did, it just started right up, it just run perfect. You didn't hear no, well, maybe, or you only heard that from me. You know, I'm the one, I'm supposed to be the man of faith and power, not my wife. But I said, well, it ain't going to work. It didn't work. I mean, I hit real hard, like Mike told me, and it didn't start. And so, well, it ain't going to work. So, do you hear anything negative in that? All of it's negative. But my wife, no, it's going to start. Car, you're going to start. And man, I mean, it just started just like that. And we drove it on over there and he put a new fuel pump on it. And it ain't never give us no more trouble. Now, can you be a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? There's times you will be a believing believer. And then there's times you will be an unbelieving believer. You know, there is, I think about the time that I prayed for people. Do I already hear the rain, huh? Okay, it's just going to rain. It ain't going to do nothing. But anyway, I can think of times, you know, when somebody would come to me and ask me, my son or my daughter, now, and how many times in my life have I heard this? I want you to pray for my daughter. I want you to pray for my son. They're all mixed up in bad stuff. They're sleeping around with somebody they're not married to and all kinds of stuff. And I want you to pray. I said, who do you think I am? Have you ever had that kind of faith? Who do you think I am? You think I could pray and change somebody? After all, they have a free will, don't they? I mean, is this the way we talk? It don't do no good for you to come to me and let me pray. I mean, after all, you need to go sit down and talk with them. Well, I've done that, but it didn't work. But when I learned the authority and power that I had as a son of God, you know, when you want me to pray for somebody, I said, sure, I'll be happy to pray for somebody. You think it's going to change them? No. I know it's going to change them. If I pray and pray in faith, it's going to happen. So anyway, this young man called me. He said, I need prayer. I was on the Daystar prayer lines and several years ago. And he said, sir, I need prayer. I said, okay, what's wrong? He said, my wife left me and the kids went to work in a strip club. I said, well, it's obvious she don't know Jesus. He said, no, she does not know Jesus. He said, when we got married, didn't either one of us know Jesus. But said, I come to know Jesus, and then my wife later, she didn't like it, so she left me and the kids, and she went to work in a strip club, and I need prayer. Now, do you have any power and authority over that spirit that's blinded her mind? You have all power, all authority. So I said, okay. I said, I will pray for you right now. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit of blindness that's blinding this woman's mind. I command, it's clearly written in Luke 10, 19, and 20, that the demons of hell have to be subject to me. And that's you too, if you're a son or daughter of God. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke those spirits of hell. I command those demons to get their stiff, sticky hands off of that woman. And Lord, I ask you to convict that woman of sin, bring her into the kingdom of God, open her eyes and let her see the sin she's living in, and then bring her back into the kingdom of God, gloriously save that woman. And I said, Lord, I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Now then, do you really believe you have that kind of authority and power? The scripture says, if you believe, these signs will follow you. If you don't believe, it ain't going to follow you. You got to pray in faith if you want the Lord to answer you. You can't pray just an old prayer. You can't come to him and say, oh, God, please, my wife left me. Oh, God. And, you know, the Lord says, that's begging. I don't answer begging prayers. You know, he said, you just make me want to throw up. That's what he says. You know, if you don't believe, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So he doesn't like it when you don't come to him in faith. So anyway, I prayed for this woman. I told the boy, I said, call me back with your praise report. Well, I prayed for several other people in that hour, and then I got off the phones, and the next Friday night we were on the line again. And as soon as the show went on the air and the telephone number come on the screen that he could find it, he called again. He said, I need to, my phone rang. I was the first one to get the call, first call. He said, I need to talk to Thurman. I said, well, this is Thurman. How can I help you? He said, well, I'm so-and-so. I said, okay, sir, how can I help you? He said, you don't remember me. I said, sir, I pray over lots of people on these prayer lines, and I definitely don't remember who I pray for. I said, but how can I help you? He said, well, I'm the man that had the wife that was a strip dancer. I said, okay, I remember that, because I don't get many to pray for that's a stripper. So I prayed for her. I said, what happened? He said, within an hour after you prayed and hung up that phone, my wife called me and wanted me, she said she couldn't believe what had happened. It's like scales fell off of her eyes, and she had no idea she was literally working in a strip club, stripping her naked body before men. That's what she was doing. It's like scales fell off of her eyes, and she wanted me to come pick her up and bring her back home. So he said, I went down there and got her. She turned in her uniforms, quit the club, brought her back home. That night, I led her to Jesus. Now you notice that's part of my prayer. I rebuke that devil that's blinding her mind to the truth. You remember that? Commanded those devils to stop it. And then I asked the Lord to begin to convict her of sin and draw her into the kingdom of God. He was doing everything I asked him to do. Everything. And this woman gets saved. He said, I led her to Jesus that night. He said, the next morning, he said, we went and got a marriage license. And 3 days later, we went and we got married again. He said, things have been great at our house this week. I said, how long had your wife been gone? He said, 14 years. I said, I'm glad you didn't tell me that. See, there's some things God don't need to show you, because he knows if he shows you, you can't handle it. If I thought I'm praying for a woman that's been gone from a family for 14 years, you know what my advice would have been? Forget her and go get you another one. But see, God didn't want it like that. He wanted that wife to be restored to that husband, and it made no difference with him how long she had been gone. When I prayed in faith, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. So, you know, we've got to get to the point to where when we pray for somebody, and all of my staff here that I teach them all the time, when you pray, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. I mean, when you pray, say, now I have prayed and it is done. And somebody said, well, what if it's not done? Say, get out of that mode of unbelief right now, woman. Let's get out of that and let's believe that these signs, let's believe. Do we believe we're really sons of God?
Yes.
We really children of the Most High God?
Yes.
Where does he live, Franz? Right there. That's right. When you believe that the King of Kings lives right there, and if you believe that he promises you to answer all of your prayers, if you're walking in obedience to his word, we hadn't got nothing to lose, have we, Miss Jackie?
Nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. I mean, when we pray in faith, I mean, I got tickled with Miss Jackie the other day. She was telling about how she wanted something fixed on her roof, and she walked in faith and did that. And she neighbor come down, put a ladder up there, and crawled up on her house and fixed that squirrel cage and everything. No problem. She did everything in faith. And I don't think he was a neighbor, so he didn't charge you nothing or nothing. Fixed your house. But she started confessing, I'm going to get my house fixed. I'm going to get that thing fixed in the name of Jesus. So, you know, it's amazing what kind of signs follow us when we believe his word. You know, you've got to believe. You know, when the Lord says in his word, he tells us a lot of things in his word. The good things, we like this part about him telling us we can do things and we can do them and we see them happen. But then whenever something comes along, like we had some of y'all have told me you woke up this morning with your radio on or your TV on or something, and you was watching the news and you saw some terrible reports in Florida and also some terrible reports in California. You know that the homosexuals are having a parade in California celebrating the gay and homosexual day or week or month or whatever it is. I guess the whole month of June, I guess Obama made the whole month a gay and lesbian month, I guess. You know, so here they are out here celebrating out here, and over here in Florida, when they woke up this morning, at 2 o'clock this morning, a Muslim terrorist went into a club over there, and before they quit, right now we don't know for sure, but we only know up to now he's killed 50 people and wounded 53.
That's right. 103
people either killed or wounded, and before they finally killed him. As they clean that club out, there ain't no telling how many people they're going to find. You know, so, you know, when I look at Scripture, let's see if I'm in the right place. Let's go to Hebrews 13:4. Let's go to Hebrews 13:4 and let's look at this and see. Now, you got to remember now, when God said all these signs will follow those that believe, we like it when he answers our prayer, right?
Yes.
But he also makes some negative statements in the Word. Marriage is honorable in all. and the marriage bed undefiled. But the whoremonger and the adulterers, God might judge them? Do you know that was a gay bar down there, a homosexual bar in Florida? Wow. Now these signs shall follow those that believe. These signs shall follow people that don't believe. Death and destruction. Just think. If God says the marriage bed is undefiled, that if you're married, you got a mate, there's no problem with the marriage bed. Is there?
No.
God made the marriage bed. He made us male and female. He expects one male and one female to be married for all their life and enjoy their sexual relationship between a female and a male. It's not two males or two females. It's one male and one female. God, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand this. And if you've got a boy or a girl and they're having trouble telling what they are, you know, you need, as an adult that brought that little child into the world, you need to explain to them what the female part looks like and what the male part looks like. And if you got one of those, you're a male. If you got one of those others, you're a female. And there ain't no such thing as in between. Now, it doesn't sound very difficult. It doesn't take rocket scientists to understand a male and a female. You know, I just can't believe what's going on. But God clearly said in His Word, He made all kinds of awesome statements about these signs shall follow them that believe. I mean, He told us we can cast out demons. He told us we can heal the sick. Did He tell us that? The prayer of faith. When we pray the prayer of faith, not only do we pray the prayer of faith, but He's given us such authority and power with the angels. We have angels. In fact, I'm going to take a couple of testimonies, and I'm going to start out with Kim. Kim, let me get a mic. I want you to tell your angel story that just happened this week. Wasn't it this week? Last week, didn't you tell me the story about the angel? No, it wasn't you. Okay, somebody else. I'll tell the story then. And then I'll ask this other young lady to come give her testimony. But there was somebody had a box, a tool box or something.
Oh, that's my key.
Oh, your keys? Okay, but didn't you ask? Okay. I thought it was you that told me the story. Turn that thing on and tell. Turn it on there. Now, just to go to show you the help we have if we believe.
Thank
okay.
You. Okay, this actually happened a little while ago, so when he said last week, I was confused. But my children, this was a few years ago, and my husband couldn't find his truck keys. Well, the problem was that the keys, he needed to go right away, and we needed to find them immediately. We were kind of new with using the scripture, and I asked the angels for help, and the Lord to help me to find these keys, because he needed them right away. So there was a little toolbox that my children had that had been on the back porch. Now, only God knew that toolbox got brought into the house and brought into our little classroom. We homeschool. And so I looked around, and the Lord and the angels had to tell me that I'm looking for this container. And I said, I don't know what that means, Lord. You got to help me. Tell me what this container is. Well, He guided me right to the spot. I looked down. And I said, oh, this looks like a little toolbox. This is a kind of container. Is that the one? I opened it up, and there were the keys. That was awesome. So that was my first experience with having that help from up above to find an object. And only the Lord knew that's where they were. So praise the Lord.
But over the years, you've asked many times for Him to help you find things, and He showed you right where they were, right?
He showed right where they are, absolutely.
But see, the difference now is when you ask Him, you say, thank you, Lord,
right
first, and then He shows you to you a lot quicker.
Yes.
Amen?
It's always thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay.
I got it on my phone.
Yesterday at the healing school, one of our friends down from Brenham area, he wasn't able to come yesterday. And the reason why he couldn't come is he got either into some chiggers or probably poison ivy. And he was in really some awful itching and pain. So I prayed with his wife here, and when she got home, because I mean, my prayer was, and I said, thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. We used, well, not up there now, Mark 16:18, no deadly poison shall hurt him. So we stood in agreement, and I said, and Lord, by the time this gal gets back to her husband, he will be free of that pain and itching. And when she got home last night, we got the praise report. He was. So thank you, Jesus, for that.
Hey. Praise the Lord. Okay, praise the Lord. And I had another young lady had a testimony. Come up here and give me yours. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, tell us what yours is, honey.
Okay, I got multiple testimonies. First of all, I've been coming here since September 2012. And you know, when you find the Lord, you have to let some of your friends go. So I was praying for a friend here in the church that I can hang out with. And so I found Chris.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we're good friends. So,
amen.
So I'm a realtor, and Chris has been without a home since 2009. And she's been praying and praying for a home. But in order for her to secure the property she wanted, she needed to do a lease purchase. Well, when you're in real estate and you look on the MLS and something's for sale and they say also for lease and it says no, that usually means no. But she calls me up and she goes, oh, I found this house and I got to have it. I just know God wants us to have this house. So I said, well, I said, it says right here they're not going to lease it. I said, but so we're going to have to stay in an agreement before we even start this.
Amen.
Because the odds are really slim. So we stood in agreement that God would make the deal work. So not only did the guy agree to lease it, he agreed to all of our negotiations. We got all the contracts drawn up, and we found out the contract was illegal because on a lease purchase in Texas, you can only escrow for 179 days, and we needed like 330. So we got a little discouraged, and I told her, I said, look, I said, you know, God has given us the lease. He's agreed to all of our deals. There's a backup offer, and he didn't even take that. I said, so we just need to stand in agreement. I said, until he tells me it's dead in the water, I'm convinced it's going to happen. But I did have a moment of weakness, and this is my second testimony, because I actually called the church, and it was raining that day, and I don't know if the phones were messed up or what, but I tried twice, and the Holy Spirit said, honey, you're on your own on this one. So I said, okay. So we ended up, not only did he agree to everything, and he let her just lease it until she can purchase it, he lowered the rent $450 a month.
Wow, praise the Lord. That is great. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, we got another one? Okay, come on, praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord.
Thank you. I'm Judy Strickland. I live in Fort Worth, and I've been coming to this church for about 4 years, a little over now. And when you mentioned the gender situation and problems and all with the restroom, I just needed to tell you this story. I moved here in 2004. 2005, a friend of mine came down from South Dakota to DFW. We spent 3 or 4 days here, and then we went to Branson for 3 or 4 days, and then she got on a plane in Springfield, went back to South Dakota. Now, my family knew I was in Branson, but they had no idea the route I was taking home or anything. So I pull into Texarkana, and back in 1984, I had cancer, and my bladder has always been very delicate because it was in that area that had to be removed. The bladder dead for a while and so forth and so on. Long story. Anyway, so I pull in as fast as I can to a mediocre little service station convenience store. And I jump out and I run in as fast as I can. And as I come in the door, there's a little tiny restroom, two little stalls, and here's a sink. And I run in and I am in a position where I can't get up again. And I look over and I see these 2 feet this long. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, there's a man in this restroom. So I said, I'll just take my time and give him time to get out, because I'm sure he is in the wrong, he doesn't know he's in the wrong restroom. So when I came out, I didn't make eye contact with him, But he was standing there. He was as tall as you are, but bigger, a lot bigger, blocking the door, his feet spread apart and his hands back like this. And by the grace of God, and I didn't have all the faith I have now, thanks to you all, I said to him, not making eye contact, never missing a beat, I went right to the sink and I said, "Sir, you are in the wrong restroom." And he turned around and left. Oh. And I was so happy that I didn't lose my cool, you know, and fear and all. Someone said, "Judy, there was a big angel behind you that you couldn't see, but he could."
Amen.
So, as you will tell more stories about what happened in Florida and all, my faith is building so strong as things like this start to happen that we are to know who we are in the Lord.
Amen.
And we are to bind those demonic spirits. And I just want you to know, I praised God over and over when I got back into that little car and thought, what if a little grandchild of mine had been in there or anybody else? But that was something that stuck in my mind. And I come against all this demonic activity in this nation and for Obama and everybody else to get their eyes on Jesus and stop putting our children at risk and harm.
Amen. Praise
and everybody
the Lord.
Else.
Praise the Lord, Miss Judy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. I don't want to. Is there anybody? Somebody else got another one, or we done? Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Here's one of our prayer warriors right here. Praise the Lord.
This is just a quick update from last night. After the healing school, it was late. I have my phone turned off, of course. And when we were here late talking with Kim and Scott and Mike, my mom called and said, "Your dad's not feeling good. He's got a fever. You know, I want y'all to pray for him." They had actually forgotten it was healing school week. And I said, "You know, it's too late to call them now. It was very late." So I said, "Kim and Scott, will you agree with us in prayer?" And they said, "Yeah." And so we prayed in agreement, remitted his sins. And so this morning I called my mom. I said, "I'm sorry it was late last night, but just wanted you to know we prayed for Dad, so he should be good." And she said, "Well, he woke up this morning and I think he still has a little fever." And so we're chit-chatting. And it's not like 2 minutes later she came out and she said, "It's what? Oh, he doesn't have a fever anymore." So praise the Lord. I said, "See? It worked. Praise God."
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness. Okay. We got another one. Come on. Praise the Lord. Wow. We're on a roll here. Praise the Lord.
Hi.
All right.
Hi. My name is Kira, and I also live in Fort Worth. And my first thing is a friendship story. When I came to this church the first time, for some reason I looked around and I was attracted to this woman, Judy, who just spoke, and we became friends, and it turns out she lived 5 minutes from my house on the west side of Fort Worth. So that's one. But last October I had to go to Washington, D.C. for a very, very special ceremony at the Capitol. And make a long story short, I had a terrible experience in the taxi. First of all, the taxi was late picking me up. I wanted to be dressed and nice and show up for the ceremony on time. And I was a bit panicked in the taxi because I was going to be late with the traffic and everything. And I prayed in the taxi. And anyway, I got there, and already everything was running later, 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 and I was panicking that I'd be late for the ceremony. So I got out of the taxi and I ran up, and I didn't really know exactly which entrance I needed to go into. And there were two men with lanyards on who looked like they were official and worked there. And I said, "Could you please lead me to the visitors?"
Go ahead.
To the visitors.
In the name of Jesus, we rebuke that. No power outages in Jesus' name.
Amen. And they both looked at each other and said, "We've worked here for 20 years on Capitol Hill, and we cannot tell you how to get to the visitor center." So I stood in this path, and I just looked up, and I said, "Okay, God, I need a miracle if I'm going to make it to this ceremony on time." And I pray for a miracle in order for me to get there, and if not, I'm going to release this and not worry about getting there on time. And I opened my eyes, and this little golf cart drove up, and it said visitor center right on the side. And I ran up to this woman, and she said, "Oh, I bet you're looking for the such and such ceremony." And I said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "I guess you know you're an angel." And she laughed, and she got off the cart. She took me to where I had to go, got off, took me down the elevator, and hand-delivered me to the ceremony, and I made it in 2 weeks.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray and ask God, right? Pray and ask the Lord. Now see, now these are the things that's available to those of us that are sons and daughters of God. You know, these things are available if we believe.
It was a cool lesson. It was the simple lesson. The Holy Spirit's voice spoke just recently, and he said, my people put more faith in the mailman than they do me.
Amen. We're going to have to start having some faith in God. Wow, praise the Lord. We had a little bitty glitch, but we'll get it going here again, no problem, praise the Lord. Anyway, we had these same kind of trials and tests yesterday at the healing school, so don't worry about nothing, it's going to be okay. Praise the Lord, we're going to be okay, we're going to get it back on, praise the Lord. These boys know what they're doing. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. They've been trained by the Lord. So, yeah, some of you that if you were at the healing school yesterday, you heard this, but if you weren't, last Friday we had a lady from Zephyr, Texas, which knew about me, called this ministry and said their 16 or 17-year-old daughter had been involved in an automobile accident and got thrown out of the car. And she was unconscious, and her blood pressure was extremely out of kilter, and that the doctor seemed to think she wouldn't make it through the night. And so anyway, they called us, and Jeff, he got the phone call, and so he said, well, I just drove right on down to Harris in Fort Worth to pray for this child. He said, I got there, and they took me into the room, and said, when they took me into the room, of course, the gauges were all there. But Jeff just prayed a simple prayer, you know, in Father in Jesus' name. And then I don't know what he prayed, but he prayed for obviously the little girl to recover and for her blood pressure to be normal and all that kind of stuff. And right there as he's praying and he gets through and thanks the Lord for it, the blood pressure starts changing instantly. And then in a few minutes, the blood pressure was completely normal, perfectly normal. And as the doctor walked in, the doctor said, what are y'all doing in this room? This girl is to have no visitors. And they said, well, I'm the pastor, and they called me and asked me to pray. And of course, the doctor turned around and looked at all the gauges, and he couldn't believe what he saw. Everything was normal. And then the next morning, the little girl opened her eyes, and she came out of the coma. So, does prayer work? Prayer works when you believe. That's a secret. You've got to believe. Now, Jesus clearly told us these signs shall follow them that believe. You've got to be a believing believer and get rid of that unbelieving junk, right? You've got to get rid of that unbelieving junk. And, you know, it's amazing, just like that lady said back there, that the Lord, I guess she was saying the Lord told her that, we have more faith in the postman than we do in him, in Jesus. If you take a package or something to the post office, when you give it to them, do you expect it to be delivered? Of course you do. I mean, you mailed it. You paid postage to get it done. You expect that thing to go and for it to be delivered. And just like the other day, Cheryl ordered some little something off of eBay or whatever it was, and I think it was a Friday or something, they said, we'll send it normal. And I said, well, no problem. You know, by sending it normal, it'll go out today, Friday. Over the weekend, it'll be on the road because the trucks drive on the road. The post office is closed on Saturday and Sunday, but the mail's still moving. So I said, we'll get it Monday. She said, well, I really need it Monday, so maybe I should use next day air, which is going to cost $20 or $30. I told her, no, just use plain old mail because it's mailed on Friday. We got all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday. Monday, I guarantee that'll be in the post office. Monday, we opened the post office box, and guess what was in there? Our package. It was there. I told her. She said, well, you told me. I said, see, now, do I have faith in the postal department? Yes, I do. I do have faith in them. I could have never made a statement like that if I didn't believe they were able to deliver. And, of course, my statement of faith made it happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think about that girl that we needed some radios down when I used to work as an engineer and down at DFW. And we needed some radios, and I had this girl come out in this company, and she looked at what I had, and she knew what I needed, and she said, Well, you said for this, you really need this thing by next Tuesday. I said, but today's Friday, there's no problem. She said, no, there's no way we can get an order in today and you can get that package back here by Tuesday. I said, are you a Christian? And she said, well, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, have you ever heard about the prayer of faith? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to put that thing that we ordered today, I'm asking you to put that radio in a box and send it, and I want it here in my office on Tuesday morning by 9 o'clock. I said, did he say I could ask for anything? Somebody said, how dare you ask God something like that? He told me to ask him what I wanted. I mean, so if he told me, what should I do? If I say, oh, well, I'm not sure God can do this, do you think that's going to make the master happy? I don't think so. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And so I prayed, and the next Tuesday morning, that girl hand-delivered that radio. She walked in, and she said, Mr. Scrivener, where do you go to church? I said, why? She said, I want to learn to pray like you pray. I said, well, it's not where I go to church that makes that happen. It's the faith in God that I have that makes that happen. I said, when you pray, you got to pray in faith, believing. And if you pray believing, he did say, let's put that back up there on the board. Is the computer down or is it working? Can we put that? These signs shall follow them that believe. Mark 16, 17, and 18. Okay, if it doesn't come back up yet, it will in a minute. Mark 16, 17, and 18. While we're waiting for the computer to reboot, it will come back up in the name of Jesus. Isn't it amazing what the enemy does to us to try to... And we're just... Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Here a while back, I'll tell you what. I think Miss Judy, she was here. She remembers this day. I got up here to teach that day, and I don't know what it was that was in my throat, but I could not talk hardly at all. And I just stopped, and I said, Mike, will you stand up right there and pray for me so I can talk? And Mike stood up and prayed and rebuked that devil and everything and prayed for me and said, thank you, Lord. And I went back, and was any of you here that day? What happened? Does God answer prayer?
Yes.
I mean, he answers prayer. So see, when we can't do something, we have the one living in us that can do all things. There ain't nothing impossible with him. And so we've got to believe. Now then, with the things that he told us to do there in Mark 16, 17, and 18, he said, these signs shall follow those that believe. And the first thing he says is you shall cast out demons. Yeah, in my name, the name of Jesus, can we cast out devils? Now then, for most of my life in the Baptist church, we never, ever, 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 ever talked about demons in church. I never heard a message in all my years in the Baptist church about demons. I mean, you know, if we happened to read a scripture about, but it usually didn't even read a scripture. If it had a demon in it, we went some other way. In fact, I went somewhere to preach to a Pentecostal church one time, and I thought this guy had faith. I really did. And so when I got there, we were talking about things, what we were going to do and how we're going to do it. And he said, now this is really a negative area. You know, he said, you're going to have to be very careful. You're going to offend a lot of people if you say the wrong thing. And I said, well, there's just a bunch of demons. So I said, I'm going to cast these demons out. And he said, oh my God, Thurman, oh no, don't say anything about demons. You might upset them and they might attack us. I said, come on, devil, I'm ready. In the name of Jesus, how much power and authority do we have over the devil?
Oh.
Hey, if I got all power over the devil, then he ain't got none against me. Why should I be afraid of a beast that Jesus has defeated?
That's right.
Give me all power over him. Why? If Jesus said, in these signs shall follow them that believe, and I'm a believing believer, and a demon comes up, and I command that demon to leave, what's he got to do? That's just like that night on Daystar when I rebuked that devil of hell and that woman, commanded those demons to leave. I don't know how many times I've done that for people. That's just like the other day. Some of you may have seen this. I know some of you did. We had right here at a healing school. We had a little 10-year-old boy. The mother, grandmother and grandfather called me and said, we got a grandson, 10 years old. He's rebellious. He won't obey us. I said, where's his mother and dad? So, well, it's our, so I think it was their son and their daughter-in-law. I don't think it was their daughter-in-law. I don't think they'd ever been married. and said they're living together and they don't want the boy, said he's rebellious, uncontrollable. So they brought him over and just dropped him off with us. I said, bring him to a healing school. Bring him to a healing. They said, sir, he's not sick. I said, oh yeah, he's sick. He's just in a different way. I said, you don't understand. I said, bring the boy to the healing school. So they brought the boy, and it was on Thursday. So the next Saturday we had one. I told them, I said, bring him in. So they did. And at the end of the service, they come up and they said, well, we're the parent, grandparents that had this boy that's rebellious. What do we do? I said, where is he? And they said, well, he's back there looking around at some stuff. I said, call him up here. They called the boy up here, and he come walking right up here. And when he stopped right there, I said, son, do you know Jesus? No. Put my arm on his shoulder, I get down at his level. Put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, how would you like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, I'm not interested. I put my hand on him again. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the God of this world, Satan, has blinded their mind to the truth. Then you said you gave me all power and all authority over the devil, and he has to obey me. So I said, Satan, I command you and your demons to come out of this boy and go to take a hike and never come back again, ever in Jesus' name. I said, now, Father, you said in John 6:44 that nobody comes into the kingdom except to be drawn by the Spirit. So, Father, I'm asking you to send the Holy Spirit to begin to convict this boy of sin and draw him into the kingdom. I said, Lord, thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. That simple. Now, did God answer my prayer?
Yes.
Everything I prayed, he answered. And here we are out here praying, oh, God, I got this son or I got this daughter. They won't do nothing. Oh, God, will you please do something? He said, you know, you're begging. I don't answer prayers of begging. I'm not a begging God. I'm a faith God. You want me to do something? You find out what I said. You call on my name. You do what I say. And guarantee I'll do it for you every time.
Amen.
You see what I mean? So, how much power and authority do we have?
All.
You know, what did he say we can do to demons? Just think about this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believing believer or unbelieving believer? Well, we find out. In fact, I'm going to tell you right there. A couple weeks ago, we find out what we're made out of whenever we get attacked by the enemy. Just a couple of weeks ago, this fine gentleman sitting right here, Franz, good friend of mine, he's been coming to this church for a long time. He really loves God with all his heart. But couple of weeks ago, he had a tremendous attack of the enemy under his tongue. A big old tumor grew up under his tongue. I mean, he saw that thing in the mirror. He's ready to throw in the towel. Really? And he's ready to throw it in. He thinks, I need to get my finances in order. I know I got cancer. I'm probably fixing to die. And then the Holy Spirit grabbed him and just punched him right in the nose. Said, how many times have you been to Thurman's church? How many times has he told you to never go to a doctor without giving me first chance?
Amen.
So he said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to call Thurman right now. And he called me. And we had just got back from dinner with a couple of friends. Me and Cheryl and these friends were still sitting in the car. And whenever he called and said, Thurman, I got this terrible thing under my tongue. And he said, I need you to pray for me, because he said, I almost went to the doctor, but he said, how many times I've heard you say, give Jesus first shot.
Amen.
So I said, I want you to pray. So I remitted his sins. I remitted my sins. I remitted a couple sins. I remitted Cheryl's sins. We washed ourselves in the blood of Jesus. Now we're clean and pure. See, don't come before the king having sin in your life.
That's right.
I got a brother here that wants to be healed, and I don't want to have any sin in my life when I come before the throne of God. I know how good a lawyer the devil is. I know that when I kneel at the throne room of God, if I got any kind of sin in my life, the devil's going to say, oh, God, oh, Father, look at that little idiot son of yours there. He's coming trying to think he's going to get some from you, and he's got sin in his life. But if I've confessed my sin, I've washed myself in the blood of Jesus, and his blood has cleansed me and made me pure and holy. I have no sin in my life. Now that with no sin in my life is the righteousness of God in Christ, I can come before the King and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for anything I want. And he promises to answer my prayer. So I prayed that prayer for Franz. And then I told him, I said, Saturday afternoon, about 6 o'clock or something like that, 7 o'clock, whatever. I said, see you in church Sunday. Sunday, he come busting through that door, comes, I sitting down back here, run over and put his arm around me and said, Thurman, you really know how to make Jesus real to a man. I said, so what happened? He said, that thing in my mouth's completely gone. God's good, isn't he, Franz? He did it. You see what I mean? Now see, we've got to learn to be children of faith, not children of unbelief. Because if we have unbelief, we pray and nothing happens. When you pray, it should happen every time. God promises to answer your prayer. Because when you look at this scripture, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils, demons. When you cast out a demon, I remember the most awesome test of demonic activity that Cheryl and I and Dave have ever encountered. And whenever I sat down at this breakfast table with this lady, beautiful little lady, probably late 30s or early 40s or so, this woman had problems in her breast, in her stomach. And I told her, I said, it's just a demon. And I'm going to cast them out of you, and I'm going to command them not to. I said, have you got ever sinned confessed? She said, yes, I do. Far as I know, I've ever sinned confessed. I said, okay, if you've got ever sinned confessed, then I'm going to command these demons not to manifest because we're in a public place. You know, the last thing you want is somebody to start screaming and cussing in a restaurant. Especially if you're a man in there with a woman by yourself. Well, of course, you know, I wasn't by myself. There was other people in the restaurant, but me and her was over at the counter by herself. And so I did all that. And then I told her, I said, now I'm going to command these spirits to come out of you, and they're going to come out of you, and you're going to get healed. So when I said, now, Satan, you and your demons, I command you to come out of this woman right now in Jesus' name. And I said, Lord, thank you for doing it. And I looked up at this woman, and her eyes were going out of sight in the middle. Her eyes crossed. Her tongue came out of her mouth, turned upside down, and went back in her mouth. I've never seen that in my life. And she could still speak perfect, even with her tongue. You just grab a hold of your tongue, try to say something. You can't do it. But that demon was talking out of her. I said, come out. And he said, we are not coming out. I said, oh, yes, you are. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're coming out. I guarantee you're coming out. He said, you have no legal right to this woman. She has confessed her sin. He said, she has not confessed her sin. She has a sin that she doesn't even remember. And we have got her mind locked up and we will never let her confess that sin. I said, well, what is that sin? And those demons, just to show you how stupid they are, they told me. They said, this woman, when she was a young girl, 14 years old, I believe it was. 11? Okay, 11 years of age or 14, whatever it was. This woman joined the Rainbow Girls. That's an offshoot of the Masonic Lodge. The women's organization, the Eastern Star, is the full-grown women's deal. The Rainbow Girls is the little girls' thing. They said, when she joined the Rainbow Girls, she opened the door to us to come in, and we came in. And I said, well, over the years, many of you have come in. I said, how many of you are in there? He said, there's 2,823 of us in this place, in this woman. I said, okay, no problem. I will call her back up, and I'll have her repent of that sin, and then I'll cast you out. And he said, we are interwoven in her brain. We will never allow her to confess that sin. I said, well, in that case, I'll just confess it myself. I said, I have power over sin. I can forgive sin. They said, you cannot. I said, yeah, it's written in John 20:23. Is that where it's written?
Yes.
What does John 20:23 say? Look at this. John 20:23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. Now then, just put that over in the NLT right quick. That says whoever sins you remit. Let's see what the NLT says there. See what the verse 23 says in the NLT. And if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but that can't be no clearer. Both the King James and the NLT both say that whosoever sins, I forgive, are forgiven. Is that what that says?
Yes.
Does it really say that, girl?
It does.
Ooh.
It does.
You didn't know you had that kind of power, didn't you? See? You're glad you come to church today. But see, I didn't know that for a long time. And then when I found that out, then I said, you devil of hell, I remit this woman's sin of joining the Rainbow Girls. She is now forgiven for that. And I said, now then. And of course, when I said that, that demon, he jumped up and he says, almost nobody knows that verse.
I know that's right.
And them that have read that verse don't believe it. Now, why do you think that was true? Because Satan and his host of demons are blinding our mind. We don't realize that we on this earth are sons of God. Did Jesus say that we can do anything he can do?
Yes.
Because where does he live?
Yes.
Right there. He's not far away. He's right there. And that's why Jesus said, anything I do, you can do also. Anything. So if Jesus says, he turns right there and says, if you forgive her sin, they're forgiven. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, that sin is forgiven. I forgive it in Jesus' name because I'm a son of God. It's done. And I said, now then, you devil to hell, come out of her. And I mean, them demons started coming out of that woman. I mean, she started spitting up stuff and everything. I called in a few minutes. I said, honey, I called the Lord. I said, Lord, this woman's going crazy on me here. She's cussing. She's spitting. She's doing everything. She's saying foul words. I said, I got to have Cheryl down here. They're going to throw me out of this place in a minute. I said, Lord, Father, bring me Cheryl down here quick. And as soon as I said that, my phone rang. She said, honey, where are you? I said, get down here quick in this restaurant. I need you now. I've never seen that woman move that fast in my life. But boy, she was there in a heartbeat. And in the next few minutes, the next few hours, we cast demons out of that woman. And in fact, one time there, we was kicking out devils and they're leaving. And all of a sudden, she says, oh, I'm okay. I'm delivered. I said, are you sure you're okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I said, okay. So I turned around to look at Cheryl. And when I did, this woman just went flying through the air about 4 foot off the ground for about 10 foot out there. She levitated right there in that restaurant. Have you ever seen anybody do that?
Nope.
I never had either till that time. She landed on the floor. I ran over there. Jumped on top of her, put my knee in her stomach. Now, this is going on in a restaurant. Exciting days with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm holding this woman down, got her hands down like this, she's got her arms up like this, she's laying there, and I've got my hands on her hands, got my knee in her stomach, holding her down, saying, come out of her, and Jesus, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And there was demons coming out, and there's a guy sitting there in a chair. He said, sir, I'm a paramedic, can I help you? I said, I'm casting demons out of this woman. You know how to cast out demons? He said, no. I said, then you can't help me. All of a sudden, this woman says, I'm delivered. I'm okay. But okay, so I get up and I'm real careful. I get up and I stand up and I said, reach down to take her by the hand. And I raise her up and I said, you sure you're okay, young lady? She said, yes, I'm fine. So I'm walking back toward my chair like this. And Cheryl's standing over here, and I get pretty close to the chair, and I turn to look at the chair, and when I do, she comes airborne with her feet up and kicks me right here. Both feet. She's flying through there, and I turn to see her coming through there. I do this, and just as I do this, you know, I mean, she just bounces off of me. She hits the floor. I jump up, and I grab her again, and I got her knee down on her like this. Have you ever seen anything like this in a restaurant? It's fun. Serving Jesus is fun. I've had so much fun serving the Lord. I grabbed that woman by the hair of the head. I began to bounce her head on the concrete floor. I said, come out of her, you devil to hell. Come out. I command every one of you to come out of her in Jesus' name. And man, these demons are coming out. She's throwing up, foaming. All of a sudden, the manager of the place comes. He said, you guys have got to get this woman out of here. He said, everybody in the place is trying to run off. Even my hips wanting to go home. I said, okay, we'll take her upstairs. We took her up to our bedroom, me and Dave and Cheryl. We got this woman in the room. I'm sitting on top of her, straddled her in the bed. She's laying there on the bed, and I'm straddled, holding her down. Holding her, and Cheryl's got a pillow there. Every time we command demons to come up, there's just all kinds of junk comes out of her mouth. Foam and all kinds of stuff. And Dave's holding her feet because she's trying to kick. Dave's holding her feet down. We are at now, then all of a sudden I look up, we've got every demon out of her but two. two demons. I said, are all of you demons out of there? There's still two of us in here and we are not coming out. I said, Lord, I don't know what I've done wrong, but this, I've been at this 7.5 hours. Now see, now I'm telling you all this in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but this story took 7.5 hours to manifest. So I looked over at that clock and said, Lord, in an hour, I got to preach at that church tonight. And I said, Lord, why won't these last two demons come out? He said, son. I said, when is this going to be over? He said, son, when I died on the cross, I said, it is finished. You don't believe it. He said, when you believe, it's finished. When you believe you have power over those demons, then they're going to listen to you and they're going to come out. But as long as you got that unbelief and doubt in your heart, they ain't going to come out. So he said, when you believe it's done, that's when it's going to be done. That's when it's going to be over. When you know when you believe you're healed, you know when it's going to be, you know when it's manifested? It happened 2,000 years ago. You just haven't believed it. So when you get a hold of the fact, it's already done. Man, I'm holding this woman down thinking, I'm hearing what God's telling me. When I believe, it's over. Man, I grabbed her and I shook her and I pushed her down on that bed hard as I could. I said, you demons of hell, I believe with all my heart. Now I have no doubt in my heart. I said, I guarantee you demons, when I speak the next time y'all are coming out, you're going to the abyss and you're never going to enter this woman again. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. It's done. I jumped off and I said, woman, get up. You're delivered. I guarantee it in Jesus' name. She opened her eyes, looked up at Cheryl and said, who are you? She looked up at me and says, and who are you? Then she looked down at the foot and she said, what are you doing to my feet? And Dave said, well, you was trying to kick us, so we was holding you down. I said, you're okay now, aren't you? And she said, I don't even know what happened. Wow. We know she was delivered. Yeah. She didn't remember a thing. 7.5 hours. It taught me something that day. When he says, when these signs shall follow those that believe. I thought I was a believing believer. But that day I found out I didn't have the faith that I needed to get that demon cast out of that woman until I had a little bit of extra boost from the Lord. But when you hear him say, when you believe it's done, is that going to change your faith level?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Now you can know how I grabbed that woman and grabbed her and shook her and said, you demons, you're out of here. Ain't no. So now then, Cheryl and I come home with this new revelation. We go to Norway. We get over to Norway. We're in a school over there. I'm teaching the school, and a man brings his wife in there, and she has a problem. She has been, her other husband that she had, he was a member of an occult or organization, and she had been his wife for a while. When this new, when she divorced him and then met the new guy and they got married, she had these problems. She couldn't hear. She had all kinds of problems. So anyway, when they came up there, they said, well, we've talked till lunch. Now, do you want to go to lunch? I said, what do y'all need? Well, I need my wife to be delivered. I said, no, I ain't going to lunch. If she needs to be delivered, we'll pray over her and then we'll go to lunch. We can eat anytime. I said, but this woman needs to be set free. I said, have you repented of all your sins, both of you? They said, yes, we have. Put my hand on her shoulders, and I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. And that woman just blew up right in front of my face, started screaming and fell on the floor. Rah! All kinds of crazy stuff. I fell right down on the floor with her. I said, honey, get yourself down here with me. Hold this woman down. We ain't going to be 7.5 hours getting this one delivered, I guarantee. I said, me and you both got more faith now. I said, in Jesus' name, I command every demon in this room to leave in Jesus' name and never come back. I said, now, thank you, Lord. This woman is delivered. Get up in Jesus' name. And she got up and I said, wow. And she was totally delivered. Didn't take no longer than that. And I looked over and this older woman sitting there in a wheelchair. I said, what'd you need? She said, I never seen anything like that. Her eyes were this big. I never seen anything like that. I said, well, woman, get out of that wheelchair and walk. When I commanded the demons over here, every one of them in this room to leave, guess what those did in her? They left too. That woman jumped out of that wheelchair and started running all over the room. Oh yeah, she hadn't walked in 7 years. That woman had not walked in 7 years. She jumped out of that wheelchair and run off like a wild woman. And the next morning, of course, when the owner of the TV station came by that afternoon, He says, well, anything happened in school today? I said, oh, you did it. Yeah, we had a great day in school today. He said, what happened? I told him. He said, wow, that's great. He said, I got to find that woman and her husband and get them to give their testimony on television tonight. I said, okay. So we went and found them. She said, I just don't feel comfortable giving my testimony. She said, just before a camera. But she said, how many people are going to be looking at me with that camera? He said, probably 150,000. She said, oh, I could never do that. He said, I just can't. She said, he said, please. She said, I just can't do it. I said, John, don't bug her. I said, the Holy Spirit's doing something here. I don't know what this is. But I said, let's just trust God. Don't do nothing. Okay, he said, okay. Well, the next day, they came back and the man, the husband, he says, Pastor Thurman, I got to ask you something. I said, what's that? He said, we had a side effect with the deliverance yesterday. Now, I thought I'd heard everything. I said, we had a side effect from the deliverance? He said, yes. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, my wife couldn't hear. She wore hearing aids in both ears. I said, and he said, this morning when we woke up, she could hear me talk to her perfect. And she said, oh my gosh, I must have slept with my hearing aids in. I can hear so perfect. She looked over on the counter and they're both sitting there. So he said, we had a side effect. She don't need the hearing aids anymore. She hears perfect. So isn't it amazing what happened when I commanded those demons to leave? They all left and she could hear perfect. And so I asked her, I said, now, since we've seen the side effect, I said, would you two mind telling the story on television? And she said, oh, I'd love to tell it. And so see, I went over and told John, and he said, wow, he said, that's great. So he put him on her and told the story. And then the next day, I think it was, that I was over there. I've told this story so many times, it's so cool. As I was teaching the class, I'm going around the classroom introducing myself to everybody. And here's this little old lady. And as I go up to shake her hand, I'm shaking hands with everybody. And when I go to shake her hand, she sticks her little right hand out and it's all drawn up and shriveled up. I said, ma'am,
hallelujah,
may the Lord bless you. And when I said that, her hand right in my hand became totally, perfectly normal.
Oh!
You know, isn't it fun serving Jesus? I mean, just think, what kind of signs follow them that believe? Miraculous signs. I mean, God, He was looking for people that believe His word.
Yeah.
Believe.
Yeah.
You know, when I first looked at that little hand, when she stuck that little hand out there to shake hands with me, when I first looked down and put your hand out there one more time. When that little hand's all shriveled up, you know, and I just look at that and I don't have no idea. I just put my hand on it and I say, may the Lord bless you.
Ooh.
That's all I said. And instantly right in my hand, that hand filled out to become a normal, healthy hand. Wow.
Hallelujah.
I love serving a Jesus that performs miracles in your presence. Don't you, Franz? Is He awesome or is He awesome?
He's awesome.
He's more than awesome, isn't He? Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise God. Well, are we going to be believing believers?
Yes.
We're going to get rid of this. No, I mean, just like Scott. Scott here, I'm telling you, this guy, when he goes out to mow a yard or any yard, and all of a sudden the lightning comes up and the storms come up and it looks like it's going to pour down rain. And he said, like 20 minutes in, his wife says, okay, two of us agree together. If two of us agree about anything, it's done. So this wind, this rain will, and the storm will not come till we get this done. People come out and say, you know, Scott, you better put your stuff away. And look at all this lightning. He said, he can't touch me. It's my Father's lightning. And I'm walking in obedience to His word. We asked Him to give us 20 more minutes. So we got 20 more minutes. And so we finish the mowing, drive the machines in there, and close the door on the trailer, and whoosh, the bottom falls out. You've seen that over and over, haven't you, Scott? You see what I mean? What happens? No, wait, no, that's a, you need to take that word completely out of your vocabulary.
I'm taking it out.
Lord, I repent.
Lord, I repent. I believe.
Yeah, I repent. I'm a believing believer, Lord. I'm not an unbelieving believer. I'm a believing believer.
Believing believer.
Amen. Do y'all understand why I do what I do with y'all?
Yes,
I want y'all to be believing believers. I want you to get, just like this girl down at the airport the other day when I told her the miracle about Jenny. The first woman that I told it to, she looked at me and she said, and she told me she's a Christian. She said, sir, that's the wildest story I ever heard in my life, and I do not believe that. I don't believe that at all. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, but it worked. The next woman I talked to in the airport, I told her the story of Jenna. Dave was with me. When I told this little lady about the story of Jenna and showed her Jenna's pictures, she looked at that. She looked at me and said, sir, that's my Jesus.
Amen.
Now see, that's my Jesus. My Jesus can do those kind of things, can't yours?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you ain't say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Lord, I'm sorry.
I ain't never going to say unbelief again.
I'm never going to say unbelief again.
I believe you can
I
do.
I believe.
Amen. Now that's my kind of girl right there. I believe. And if Jesus told us to believe and we can move mountains, can we do that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
When you pray for something, I don't care what you pray for, say, now I pray, whoever you're dealing with, when you get through praying, if you know you've got all the sins confessed in your life, you know they're confessed, and you come back and say, now, Lord, this person here needs this, I'm praying for this, and I'm using this scripture, and I guarantee your word never fails, it is done in Jesus' name. Now then, I prayed, it is done, praise God. That's the way you should close your prayer, right? Don't ever say, well, I've got an appointment next Wednesday for the doctor. You pray for me, and I hope this thing's healed before now. You ain't going to get healed. No, you ain't never going to get healed. You're going to have to believe. You got to believe. Jesus said these signs will follow the believing believer, did he not?
Yes.
And do you reckon he meant that?
Yes.
Well, I know he meant that. So every one of us, I want every one of us to say, Lord, we repent. For our unbelief. We thank you for giving us more faith and helping us because we're your sons and daughters. Now we're going to do great things this week in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray for everything, believing our prayers are answered every time. And when people say, how did you do this? You tell them, I'm a daughter or a son of the Most High God. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen, Lord. We can praise you, Lord. We can thank you. You're the mighty God. You're the one that wrote this book. You're the one that said we can do greater things than these. Jesus literally said in John 14:12 that we can do greater things than he did in his name. Do we believe that?
Yes.
Amen. This my girl over here, she's getting it.
Yes. I believe.
Amen.
I believe.
You better not ever let me hear you say, I don't believe again, ever.
I believe.
I mean, is our words important?
Very important.
Yeah, you're right. They are very important. Wow. Father, in Jesus' name. We praise you and thank you for this gorgeous, beautiful day. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for everything. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority over the storms and the hail, and that anywhere we are, there will be no storms, no devastating winds, no high winds, no hailstones, nothing damaged, nothing, none of our property, or us or our children, that you will watch over us and protect us because we are your sons and daughters of faith, and we're going to walk in obedience to your word. We're going to walk in love. We're going to do what you say so that all these promises will work every time we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.